You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
And that's where we start hour number two here on the program. We are joined, Tommy and I, by Brandon Zinner out from the golf course at Friday Tradition. TJ Cleland, we're peeling away, I'm sure, from some video games. Paul Savage in as well. So here we go, fellas. We'll let Tommy has been, you know, bugging me about this part of the picks. Jad, how did we do last week?
Yeah, let's go.
Well, just let me know when anybody gets anywhere close to Paul.
Yeah, I like the way you think.
Let's not diminish.
I like the way you think.
Let's not. That's not the lead. That's not the lead, Jad. Like, let's not diminish the outstanding week that yours truly had a week ago.
And very, very much so. We won't do that. We won't diminish that you had a 6-0 week, Tommy.
Thank you.
You led the week. Paul did come in second, so nobody else was gaining any ground. When it comes to that, Jacob, I believe you went 3-3, and then TJ and Brandon both went 2-4. So, Jacob, at least you broke even there. But yeah, Paul still got the cumulative lead though, 31-15. Tommy kind of pulled into second there. He'd been in second for a while, 25-21. Jacob, you and TJ are at 24-22. Brandon, 16-30.
Ooh, ah. Yikes. Hey Brandon, maybe focus less on the golf game and a little bit more on your
picks. That's why we bet parlays, right? Yeah, you just need to hit one or two, and you're good.
Hey, I hear there's an opening in the weather department there at the station.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We do it all there.
Okay.
All right, Chad, hit the music. Let's do this. We start in college football. LSU, Texas A&M. Tommy wins the week last week. Tommy can go first. The Aggies are 1-point favorites at home in a big SEC showdown between one-loss teams. Tommy, where are you at on this one?
I'm a big believer in Mike Elko and the Aggies. I know that it's taken a little bit of time to get things rolling, but man, it's such a breath of fresh air to have a competent coach coaching Texas A&M. It's been a minute since that has happened, and I think a lot of it is just obviously the extremely high expectations that everybody has on A&M. Elko, I think, will live up to that eventually. He's already started that process. I like them at home. It's basically a pick 'em. They're laying a point, but I'm going to take A&M to win, and I'll lay that point.
Paul, can the pretend Cage and Brian Kelly make it back-to-back road wins in the SEC at a place like Kyle Field?
You know something I don't know, and I don't care. All I know is that Tommy Kester may be the greatest picker of all time. So in order to give him the dues and the honors that he has received from this week's accolades, I'm going with Texas A&M as well, only because Tommy Kester took it. That's the last one. That's my salute to you.
Thank you.
I'm done. Now I'm picking on my own, but that was for you, big boy.
Yeah, I'll go A&M as well. It is back-to-back road games at Arkansas. And LSU looked really good last week, but now they got to stay on the road, go down to A&M. These are two really good teams. This will be one of the better games this weekend, but I'll take the Aggies at home when it's essentially a pick 'em. Brandon, what do you think?
Well, I had one strategy going into this round of picks, and I've heard the first three, and I see potential for something else. So I guess give me LSU, boys.
Got to do it.
Take the opportunity. Yeah, you going to give him the island team?
I think I am. I'm going with A&M. I think that the last time that I picked against Kyle Field whenever Mizzou went there, Mizzou got absolutely embarrassed a little bit. So I'm going to pick A&M. They've got it rolling since they lost Notre Dame. I think this would be 7 straight, I believe. They can get this one done. I think they do it at home.
How about the fishiest spread of the week next, BYU? going on the road to UCF. UCF is favored in this game, Paul. Are you buying that?
No.
UCF favored at home?
No. How can you buy this? I mean, I thought you had it. Are you sure you don't have a typo? Are you sure?
I'm certain.
I know. I'm going to take BYU. This might be the easiest pick of the week. Am I wrong on that?
I'll go next. I don't know. They, you know, on the road last week, UCF had Iowa State on the ropes. You know, they've got one bad loss to Colorado at home. They've been really close, if not winning some other games. BYU's really good. BYU survived Oklahoma State on the road. I think there's a reason UCF's favored. I think Vegas is pretty smart. I'll roll the dice on it. I'll take the home favorite, even in a 3-4 versus 7-0 matchup. Give me the Knights, baby. EJ's shaking his head at me.
It's insane that this line is a thing because UCF hasn't won a game since September 14th, and they're favored against an undefeated team. It's unreal. Like, I understand that they're taking these teams to the wire and everything like that, but in the same breath, the Kansas Jayhawks have taken every single team to the wire that they've lost to, too. You think that they would be favored against BYU right now? I don't think that they would. I'm not going to make this complicated. I'm going to pick the undefeated team to cover the spread.
Brandon, what happens most of the time when we think, man, that's a weird line in Vegas? Like, why would they do that? That's so obvious. Like, it's just such a no-brainer. We've been here before.
It usually goes the other way. Vegas always knows, but you know who knows more than Vegas? So far this year, Paul Savage has proven that. I'm going to ride with Paul Savage.
That's right. If only Paul actually bet his picks, he'd be a rich man. Tommy, what do you think? Give me the island.
Well, look, I mean, you know, BYU's quarterback Jake Retzlaff said earlier this week that UCF is the best 3-4 team in college football. The thing that's interesting about, you know, the home field advantage when you talk about that is that it only matters if you actually can take advantage of your home field advantage. UCF hasn't been able to do that, losing to Colorado and Cincinnati. They're due to make that happen. BYU is due for a bad break. I'm going to take UCF at home. I'm going to lay those points. I'm going to take that island, boys.
Wow. There's so many reasons this is a trap game. You've got Utah next week for BYU. That's a long trip for them. Stylistically, these teams are a lot alike. Like, there are a lot of trappy things in there. I was really hoping to get an island on that one. I figured I would.
Oh, I guess I don't get an island. Okay. I've got UCF. Okay.
It is the fishiest line of the week for sure, which scares me. All right. Let's go KU and K-State. Sunflower Showdown. It's down to 9.5 this morning. It's been as high as 10.5. I'll go first here. I do think this game will be fun to watch. I think it will be competitive. But at the end of the day, Chris Klieman and the Cats kill people at home. I think that you've got sort of like a late cover type thing. I think this game's competitive, but I'm not betting against K-State at home. Not until. I mean, this will be the game where we see it from KU, maybe, to swing it the other way, but it's not going to be this one for me. I'm going to take the Cats. Brandon?
I just told myself if I put that ball in the green that I was going to bet the Cats, and I'm going to this game tomorrow. I don't need Cats fans mocking me at all, so give me the Cats.
All right.
Did you get the ball on the green, though? That's the important question. You didn't answer that.
Yeah.
I got about 6 feet for birdie.
Okay, good.
There you go. TJ?
This one, I'm going to pick the Hawks. I don't know what it is about this one. I think if they can go on the road and do it, they looked really good last week. They're chronic, I guess not coverers, because they've been favored in all the games that they've lost, but they've kept it close every single game that they've lost. I can see them doing it again in this one. And like I said, they looked the best that they did last week. And it's a Sunflower Showdown because weird things happen every single time. So give me the Jayhawks in this one.
Tommy.
So Kansas has only covered the spread in one of their games this entire season. It's only happened one time, which isn't surprising considering what we've seen from Kansas in this game. Really, for me, the deciding factor comes down to the game being in Manhattan. I think it's going to be a close game. I think that it's going to, at least a close enough game. I think that at this point, really, it'll be more competitive than maybe what people think. I'm going to actually side with TJ. I think that the Jayhawks will cover. I think Kansas State ultimately wins the game, but I think the Jayhawks can keep it within a touchdown, so I'm going to take Kansas to cover.
What do you think, Paul?
My only question is, what time is game time? Is this a game that starts before 9 or 9:30 at night?
Yes.
All right. If that's the case, I'm taking K-State.
Short okay. and simple and so sweet. I like that.
Yeah, three K-States and two KUs. That's about probably where it should be. I do think that line is just about right. I mean, I think this is that. It's with, I think the game is within two touchdowns. So we get there. All right, let's go to the NFL. This one's a good one. Bills at Seahawks. There aren't as many great games in the NFL as there were a week ago. This is a good one. Seahawks 3-point home dogs, TJ. These are two pretty good teams. What do you think here?
Yeah, this one's a toss-up. This is one that I would probably steer clear of because these are one of the trap game lines in the NFL where anything's going to happen. I'm going to pick the Bills. I still like Josh Allen a lot. I know that they, faltered a little bit in the past couple of weeks, but I think that the Seahawks are not exactly in that elite level of teams that I think that the Bills are still in. So give me Buffalo to go on the road and cover the points.
Brandon, do you agree?
The Vikings stink. The Bills don't. Give me the Bills.
All right. Paul, you taking the Seahawks home dogs here?
You know, something I'm tempted to go with the Seahawks. But dang, you know, the Bills are just a good football team. They've got all the tools that one would need in terms of receivers, particularly quarterback. I don't know. This is a tough one because the 3 points is a little worrisome at home. But, Jimmy and Christmas, you just got to stick with the quality. I'm going with the Bills. I'm joining the boys from KWCH.
Oh, Tommy, I'm going to give you a chance for an island here. I'm also going to take the Bills. They've got another week of Amari Cooper. I don't like this one at all. I won't actually bet this game. If I bet anything with this game, it'll be the over. But as far as these picks go, it's really a bet on Josh Allen as much as anything else. But, man, get an island with home points like that?
Well, I mean, look, the thing with the Bills, obviously Josh Allen just a week ago had his best passing game of the entire season. And really, the presence of Amari Cooper, you know, Cooper obviously did some stuff and was productive in the game. But really, I think it has increased what the other receivers want to do on that team because they don't want to lose targets to Amari Cooper. So whether you're talking about Shakir or Keon Coleman, like they both played really well in the second half last week for Buffalo. That being said, though, and I was going to take Buffalo if I have a chance at an island, I think I'm going to take the Seahawks and I'll take the points. And the reason why there is a justification there. Kenneth Walker needs to have a really good game on the ground. Geno Smith is not going to be able to outduel Josh Allen, so the Seahawks are going to have to lean on Walker. He's been inconsistent, but he can be successful. He has been a couple of weeks this season. He's going to have to do it again this week, and if he can, I like the Seahawks, and I'll take the points.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a, I think that's the
nobody
way
blames you for taking the
that's a I put it in there for a reason. No, that's a really
nobody
hard.
Blames you. Nobody blames.
It's a really hard game. That's all right, Chiefs Raiders. It's the late afternoon game there. Raiders getting 9.5 points at home. Brandon, 9.5 points at home for the Raiders. Can the Chiefs go on the road and cover that kind of number?
I'm not sure if the Chiefs defense will give up 7 points to this Raiders team. I mean, they just look like absolute dysfunction right now. So if the Chiefs can score 17, they're going to cover the spread. Give me the Chiefs.
You agree, TJ?
All I know is that the real bet in this game is taking DeAndre Hopkins 2+ touchdowns and all the juice that you're getting on that one. The Chiefs are going to cover this one. I think that, as Brandon said, the defense is too good. They did what they did to the 49ers. I imagine they can do it again against the Raiders this week.
Paul, the Chiefs have been playing with fire in a lot of ways with the turnovers. Now they're turning people over too. Can they go on the road and cover a number like that if they, you know, turn the ball over like they have been?
Well, the Raiders are probably, would you say, maybe the bottom seven of quality teams?
Absolutely.
Right? They're not very good.
Absolutely.
To me, this is the second easiest game to pick behind the BYU-UCF game. This is the second easiest game. 9.5 points will be covered in the first half. I mean, going into halftime, the bet's going to be covered. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Chiefs.
Tommy?
Well, you know, traditionally, a spread that is even approaching double digits in the NFL is really dangerous, like really, really dangerous. In this case, though, everything points to the Chiefs being able to cover the points. I'm going to take it just because the Raiders, I mean, who they're going to start? Gardner Minshew, right? They don't have Davante Adams anymore. They're in free fall. I just don't see anything positive about the Raiders while the Chiefs have all the momentum. And by the way, they still have covered every single game except one this year, the Chiefs have. So I'll lay those points. I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Yeah, this one's interesting for me. The Chiefs are way better than the Raiders. I agree with Paul that I think the first half cover is in play, but I also think a backdoor cover for the Raiders by the end of this game is very much in play. I'll tell you why, and I'll take the Raiders. Just it's an island, and I think it's not as egregious as it may seem. Max Crosby's going to be a problem in this game, just like we saw early Bosa be a problem. And the other problem, it's kind of similar to the Niners. Now, they're not as good as the Niners, but are they close to the Niners with what they were able to wheel out there with no Ayuk and no... They have one of the best tight ends in football right now in Brock Bowers. If there is a weakness to the Chiefs' defense, it is stopping tight ends. So, matchup-wise, if the Chiefs are bad at left tackle and they're bad at covering tight ends, those are two of the very few things the Raiders can actually do pretty well. It feels like maybe a backdoor cover could come into play in this. I'm not going to bet this game this way. I would probably bet the under, honestly, if I bet it at all. But I'll take the points here at home because I do think the Raiders have a chance to sneak in there late and do something on a turnover or something like that. So I'll take the Raiders there. All right, Cowboys-Niners in the slop fest of the week, potentially. The Niners, because they're dealing with all the injuries that they have. The Cowboys, because they're just not good and playing not well. Paul, the Niners are 4-point favorites at home, though. What do you think about this one?
Well, this comes down to me. Who is going to stink the worst or stink the least, I guess would be the proper way to say it. And having watched the 49ers last, fellas, this is not the 49ers team that we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the year. This is not even close to that football team. So with that being said, but the game is in San Francisco, so that has an effect. But you know something? Maybe the Cowboys rally. We've seen a Cowboys defense that is suspect at times. Can they do enough to stop the 49ers? And I'm probably going to say yes. I'm going to go ahead and take the Cowboys, although this is two ugly teams. Two teams with problems. Two teams that could use a win to make things at least try to turn around.
This is actually one of my favorite bets of the week, one that I've already made because I'm afraid the number will shrink. I love the Cowboys +4 here. The Niners are hobbled. The Cowboys, while they've been really bad, they've been much better on the road. They're coming out of a bye week. They're relatively healthy coming into it, and the 49ers are not. But 4 points, man, I'm going to take the Cowboys here. I've already made this bet. I like this bet. Tommy, what do you think?
I think this game is going to come down to a field goal and really either direction. I can see either team winning this game. The edge I'm going to give to the Cowboys, though, coming off of a bye week. They're rested. They're healthier for sure than the Niners are. And just after watching the way that Brock Purdy played against the Chiefs a week ago, and I know defensively the Chiefs are better than the Cowboys, Purdy didn't look good, and the weapons are just not there, especially with Ayuk out. And I don't really know, do we know Deebo Samuel's status for this weekend? I don't know what that's going to look like. So with all of that uncertainty, I don't think the Cowboys are great, but I'm certainly going to take the points. I'll join you guys and do Cowboys +4.
Brandon, you might be getting an opportunity here.
My least favorite bet in all of sports is the Cowboys to cover. But yeah, I just don't see how you go with the 49ers and their health situation. So give me the Cowboys.
Tell Big Game Braxton Jones we said hello, by the way. TJ, I am surprised that you've got an opportunity here for a 49ers island. I did not think this would go this way. Are you going to take it?
I woke up this morning when I got the text and I was taking the 49ers, so I'll absolutely take the island.
I'm surprised by that.
The Cowboys are coming off a bye, like you guys said, but they're coming off a bye after they lost by 100 points to the Lions. I don't know what you think happened in the bye to make them a team. The Lions are good, by the way, but 49ers are a team, even though they're beat up, they've got a lot of skill. I think that they can get it done. I don't think that the Cowboys, with as much times as they wronged me this season, I don't know if I picked the Cowboys to cover against the Wichita East Blue Aces right now.
Not Mr. Savage's Blue Aces, that's for sure. Look, the Cowboys are the most Jekyll and Hyde, and they have been every year under Mike McCarthy. They're the most Jekyll and Hyde team in football. We haven't seen a lot of Mr. Jekyll. Mr. Jekyll's a good one, right? Hyde's the bad one? Jekyll's a good one?
Dr. Jekyll. He didn't go to college for as long as he did for you to call him Mr.
Hey, you know what they call a D student in med school?
A doctor. Doctor.
That's right. So, yeah, the Jekyll. We haven't seen enough of the Jekyll, so it's time for the Jekyll. Speaking of big game Braxton Jones, I know he'll be going with the Cowboys this weekend. He's out there shooting. Braxton, former KWCH. Always good to see him. All right. If you missed any of our picks and you wonder what we're talking about on the video streams, you can always go back and watch that, by the way, on 12 News Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app. That's it for picks this week.
Yay!
Can't wait for this week because we can get Tommy off of a 6-0 week, and then we want to hear about that again. We're going to keep TJ Cleland around. We're going to talk a little high school football because it is a Catch at Kansas Friday. TJ will get a surprise to what's coming up there. Some smaller schools game of the week might surprise you a little bit. That's next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's on Sports Daily. Keep it right here. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. We're glad to be here with you. We're glad to be here on a Friday, which means it's a high school football Friday, a Catch at Kansas Friday. And running things over at Catch Kansas, TJ Cleland, of course, getting everything ready to go. You had a lot of golf coverage this week, but it is about football, TJ. And as we look ahead to some of these games, I'm going to look ahead to our buddy Paul Savage's Blue Aces in Dodge City as we start with the big schools. Dodge City's pretty good. We know East is good. This will be a fun one tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Dodge City is a team that this is the best Dodge City team that I've seen in my almost 3 years that I've been here for sure. You know, they really started to piece it together. Their only losses this year, when you look at it, they lost to Olathe East, which is a 6A power in Kansas City. They lost to Great Bend, who's undefeated and probably the best team in Class 5A this side of Kansas City. And they lost to Hayes, who Hayes is always a power in the WAC. I think they've won it the last 2 years, I believe. So they beat Garden City last week, won the Hatchet game. This is another big test for them coming to Wichita. I think they played South, it says, but this is their first, you know, they played East. They're playing East as a top team in the City League, basically. Big test for them and a big test for East to keep it going here into the playoffs starting next week, which is insane.
TJ, what else? What's our game of the week, I guess I should ask first. I know it's not a big school this week, but tell us about the game of the week.
Yeah, we got some 3A battles. This is really a week where there probably could have been four or five game of the weeks. So the slate's really good. The game of the week, though, we're going with Pratt versus Cheney, class of 3A. I believe it's District 7. Right there in District 7, it's probably the best one you're going to find in class 3A. There's Wichita Collegiate, 6-1, Pratt, 6-1, Cheney, 6-1. Playoffs start next week, so this is as big as it gets for seeding-wise. I think Pratt, if they win tonight, they get to host a home game for the first time in I don't even know, 5 years, 10 years, something like that. It's been a long time, I can tell you that. Cheney coming off a loss to Collegiate, their first loss in about 20 games or whatever the number was. So both of a really big one for both of these guys. And while I'm talking about it, the other big 3A one, a couple of 3A undefeateds, and I think it's District 6, Andale and Heston. Andale 7-0, Heston also undefeated there as well. So the streak will get put to the test there again this year. Swarthmore can get it done against Andale tonight.
You know, I'm going to set this up for you, TJ, because Class 5A has some really interesting games. And not just one or two. They've got like four at least. I mean, you've got Andover Central and Andover. You've got Derby and Bishop Carroll. I find that fascinating for reasons other than both will have green jerseys. But Northwest and Goddard Eisenhower and Hutchinson and Mays South, there's some fascinating games in 5A. Where are we sitting with 5A right now?
Yeah, absolutely. As I was saying, this is one where everybody can have a game of the week, it seems like, because with the playoffs starting next week, every game is a big deal because of, you know, playoff seeding and then, you know, league championships are going on the line and everything other than that. As you said, we've had Andover Central. Andover is one that we kind of circled to be a really fun one that hasn't been that fun the past couple of years. Andover Central has been one of the best teams that in Class 4A, and Andover's had their struggles. This year, Andover's a pretty legit team. We expect them to win some playoff games. Andover Central is a team that has won some big ones. It could be a huge upset at that Andover's field if Andover can get it done. I'm not sure. I'll have to do the research the last time that they were able to take down Andover Central. But the Battle of Andover is going to be a spicy one tonight for sure.
Yeah, that's where I was pointing. This Andover team, you know, that it's been a long time since they've played a game this big. You know they're fired up to do it. You know they're fired up for this game. And it has been a while, but you know, I'm not as involved in it anymore. But yeah, it's been Andover Central's game to lose for a long time. What do you think Andover's chances are in this game?
Yeah, you know, Andover's had tough games too. They've lost three games, but the three games they've lost have come to Capen, Goddard, and Eisenhower, which are all three really good teams. Yeah, Goddard's only lost one game as well. I think all of those teams are right there, 6-win, 7-win teams. Andover Central only has one loss, and it's to Goddard. So it really is. I mean, it's kind of a toss-up the way that I look at it. I think that Andover, they know what they do well. They run the ball really, really well the couple times that I've watched them. Andover Central just has so much talent. You know, we really looked at them as one of the best teams in the Wichita area. The loss to Goddard, you know, I think that in their eyes they got upset a little bit with all the talent that they have. Andover, you know, as we're saying, rivalries can bring out the best. I think that I would call it, you know, if we're putting spreads on this, it's a single-digit spread.
Right now, who do you have as, I mean, if all the games were played and you were starting to work on who's the playoff matches next week, give me your, give me 6, 5, and 4A. Give me the top seed who you think they're going to be.
The top seeds who I think they're going to be?
Yeah.
Just speaking about the west side, at least, this is, I don't pay attention to the east.
Right, that's what I meant, the west side,
near
yes.
Near as much.
Yes.
You know, Derby, I can't see Derby, you know, I was talking to, you know, Coach Wehrman at Cheney yesterday, who used to be on the Derby staff. I can't see Derby losing a game. They might get to Gardner Edgington at the final step and you know, maybe falter at that point, but I don't see it happen. I don't pay attention as much to what Gardner Edgington's got going on. The Derby's the best team within a, you know, 50-mile radius of Wichita, but for sure, they're going to be the one seed, I imagine, unless some crazy stuff happens tonight at Bishop Carroll, which would be a huge upset in the city. You know, Great Bend still undefeated. I think that they're going to be the best team in Class 5A. They're probably going to go, you know, play the sweepstakes of who gets to play in Mill Valley in the championship, I'm sure. And then in Class 4A right now, that's the one where there's not an undefeated in the West. You know, there's three teams that are 6-1, three teams that are 5-2, and it really is right there. You know, Mulvane is a team. We're going to be at that game tonight, Winfield and Mulvane. Mulvane's 6-1, really having a great season down there. A win tonight, you know, they'd be right there at the top. There's no reason they couldn't be the one seed. So it would be huge for Mulvane. I'm sure that they're amped up to get some home playoff games over there as well.
And then we can end with Andale. They're, you know, they've been sort of the glamorous team. They didn't get it done last year, but it kind of feels like they're right back in there, right? They'd have to be the favorite in 3A, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I would imagine that they are. But as I said, I was talking to Coach Wehrman at Cheney yesterday, and this might be the deepest that Class 3A has been in quite a while. You know, last year, obviously, it was, you know, Andale and Cheney. Cheney got the best of it. Collegiate was a step behind those two. This year, you know, Collegiate beat Cheney, and, you know, Cheney might beat Pratt, and, you know, Pratt lost to Collegiate, and Andale beat Collegiate, and Heston's undefeated still. And it's really interesting how this is going to play out, and it makes you wonder, you know, in Class 3A, too, they don't do the traditional bracket like 6A, 5A, 4A does. They
right.
do these by the districts.
That's right.
And that sets the seeding. So there's going to be weird matchups. You know, there's no reason that we could see, you know, Andale Collegiate could be the second week of the playoffs if the seeding works out that way.
It may be
off the rails.
It may be. That may be.
And that makes the 3A's. You know, Andale's dominated it, and I know they didn't get it last year, but 3A's always been a fun classification for me because I feel like we've got so many good teams. All right, TJ. So, of course, catchitkansas.com. We'll have all the scores and everything else. What do you guys have lined up for coverage tonight?
Yeah, Brandon's going to be there at the game of the week out, and Sheeny hanging out. Peyton Sanders is going to be with him talking about some football weather. Says it should be a good one tonight. Says like 62 at kickoff. Yeah. Should be perfect. Hoodie watching a football game weather. He'll be live starting at 4:30 this afternoon, going live until our 12 News kickoff show here on 12 News Connected. Him and I talking about some of our favorite games, making our picks. What we expect, and as I said, I think all of the 8 or 9 or 10 games that we're getting, they're all great. So it should be really fun catching Kansas show tonight.
And 12 News Connected, TJ mentioned it. There is special coverage, in-depth coverage that comes later this afternoon on 12 News Connected. Paul will be out there with the East High Blue Aces. We love Friday Night Football. It's here, last week of the regular season, and catchitkansas.com has you covered. The Catch It Kansas show will air tonight at 10:35 over on the KSCW. TJ, we appreciate it. Good luck tonight. And, watch the ACLs on the sideline always.
Absolutely. Paul, see you at South tonight.
You got it, big boy.
Oh, there you go. They're right there. That's where they'll be. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get Paul's take on a few things. We'll have final thoughts on the Sunflower Showdown. World Series begins tonight as well. It's all coming for you. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Savage the rest of the way. The IHOP hotline is back open, by the way. And it is brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites, for just $6 Monday through Friday. That hotline number is 869-1240. We got a lot of programming notes to get you through as well. A lot to cover here in the last half hour of the show. Stick with us. We've got the NFL here on KFH, Sunday Night Football. You can tune into 97.5 and 1240 KFH. 6:30 coverage begins for that Niners-Cowboys matchup. You can simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time as well. There's a lot of different programming things happening. Let's cover it here real quick. Regular programming all day today. And then on Saturday, it begins with 11:30 coverage of Butler and Hutch. Here we go. Top 15 matchup at Hutchinson, one of the big games of the week. That'll be right here on KFH. Again, that coverage begins at 11:30 for the huge rivalry game there. It's rivalry weekend because we also get the Sunflower Showdown. You'll hear the Wildcat Radio Network, K-State, with our buddy Wyatt Thompson. That coverage begins at 5 o'clock for the 7 o'clock kick. K-State at home, of course, against KU. Then on Sunday, Chiefs Raiders coverage begins at 2 o'clock over on the Chiefs Radio Network, which you find on KNSS. You'll get Shocker men's basketball taking on Emporia State. We have radio coverage of the exhibition game.
Cool.
That's on KEYN. That coverage begins at 5:30. And then you get Sunday Night Football right here, as we mentioned, on KFH. That coverage begins at 6:30. It is a busy weekend, Paul. We've got college basketball getting going this weekend. We have the World Series getting going tonight. Most eyes, though, are fixed on the Sunflower Showdown.
Mm-hmm.
And KU, who has positioned itself to make this, it would appear, a much more competitive game. Where did you end up picking, by the way? I took K-State to cover. Where did you end up picking on that?
I took K-State as well.
I do think this will be a very entertaining football game. I think KU might be outgunned a little bit. But if you could tell me right now, Paul, that Jalen Daniels looks as good as he looked last week, really, if he's close to what he's been the last 2 weeks, I would say KU's got a good chance to make some noise here. We know they can run the ball. I just don't know if they can stop K-State on the other side of it. But this should be a wildly entertaining football game, I think.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think, when you look at K-State, what do you think of their defense? I mean, it's a good defense. Do they get pass rush? Yeah, they get some pretty good pass rush. Can they disrupt a quarterback like a Jalen Daniels? Yes. K-State is capable. They have that kind of defense. I look at this mostly as the K-State defense against Jalen Daniels. I'm going to go with K-State's defense. I mean, granted, it was a decent game by KU last week. But, Jacob, this is a team that's got some problems, some innate problems. They're not just going to go away because you're playing your in-state rival. That's not going to happen this week.
I hear you on that. I think what I would be afraid of if I was a K-State fan is that what they've wanted to do defensively, which is, you know, stop the run of the opposing team and let teams throw a little bit, is going to be difficult to do against this team, right? Because KU, we know, you know, a lot of we followed Jalen Daniels so closely because he played so poorly at the beginning of the year, and now he's beginning to look like Jalen Daniels. But the bread and butter of this football team is are those two running backs, Devin Neal and Daniel Hyshaw. So even with Daniels looking better and the incredible talents they have at wide receiver, they want to run the ball. And K-State does not want them to run the ball. K-State would love, I think, for this to be Jalen Daniels throwing the ball 30 times in this game. So that, to me, becomes the big matchup to watch. Can K, if K-State early can establish that KU's not going to be effective on the ground, I think K-State will be just fine in this game.
Can I give you two things to look for? And that is the first one, you have said it very properly, and that is stop the run. Stop the run. K-State's got to stop the run. They stop the run. The next key to see is how much pressure is put on Jalen Daniels. Do they flush him out of the pocket? Do they make him move in the pocket? Do they get him out and throw on the run, throw out in space? Because sometimes he does well at that, sometimes he doesn't, but that's not where
he's done better at it lately, for sure.
He has, but part of that is practice, if you get my drift. But the point is that if you can get him out into space and make him throw on a run, it becomes a little more difficult for him. So that's one of the things to look for. How many times is Jalen Daniels made to leave the pocket? I think that'll be very interesting to see. And then the advantage will go to K-State because that's what they're going to want to do. So with that being said, you know, it's a two-edged sword, but all football games are two-edged swords. The number one priority for any college football team in America, Jacob, as you know, is number one, stop the run on defense. If you can stop the run on defense, you got a pretty good chance of winning a football game.
Well, and it's not just – it's been this way for K-State. All this is why I love the over in this game, by the way. Still sitting around 55. I love the over because if K-State has this go the way they want it to, there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game because they do want teams to throw it. And if you're inviting a really – gifted quarterback when he's right with gifted receivers, the lots of opportunities to throw the ball, you're inviting lots of opportunities for big plays on offense, right?
Right.
But what K-State's been really good at this year and why this has been a sound strategy for them is because it does let them force havoc, right? Like, yeah, KU would probably score some points, but if you make them throw that much, you're also inviting the opportunity for drive-ending sacks, right? That's why... Right. You know,
that's
defensive linemen get paid so much money in the NFL.
That is
no matter how bad your defense is, if you sack the quarterback, that drive's probably over.
That's right.
And turnovers mm-hmm. and interceptions. Mm-hmm. So if K-State's going to be this big opportunistic defense, which is when it's at its best, I think, that's why they want KU to throw it a ton. It's hard to turn KU over when they're just running the ball down your throat.
Right.
And that's been K-State's philosophy all year. Mm-hmm. West Virginia, before the quarterback went down, West Virginia was running the ball. That's when that game was a whole lot closer. It's when the quarterback had to leave the game, unfortunately, due to injury, and their run game stopped, that K-State was able to pull away and dominate that game.
Mm-hmm. Right. And from a betting standpoint, which we all anymore, we all have got to take a look at the betting aspect of this.
Well, sure.
And your bet for going over might be really good because if you can get Jalen Daniels forced into throwing the ball because the run gets shut down, the game will last longer. There will be more plays. Dropped passes, the clock stop. Going out of bounds, you know, the clock stops most of the time.
That's a good point.
And so the game will be longer. There will be more plays. There will be more opportunities to score. So I like the way you're rationalizing that with regards to the betting aspect of this. The more passes thrown, the longer the game will be. The more plays. The more offensive plays will be run. There will be more of those with the clock stopping on passes. So I think you're making
easier
sense.
Easier said than done.
Well,
right?
That means K-State
does then have to stop one of the more dynamic backfields in college football. And on the other side of it, it's probably not all that different, right? KU's going to come into this game and not want DJ Giddens to kill them.
Right.
Now, I say that. West Virginia did the same thing. They slowed DJ Giddens down on the ground, and K-State crushed him because Avery Johnson showed everybody he can throw the ball. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I think for a lot of people, Avery Johnson's this dynamic athlete, this great talent, and people think, oh, man, that dude can run. What we know after watching him play high school football and followed his recruitment, he's just as gifted a thrower as anybody in the country. Mm-hmm. Now, he's young, right? He's 19 years old. He's still learning the things that make you effective at that at the college level, mm-hmm. but he's getting better at it every single week.
Yeah.
Like defensively, I don't think KU's game plan is any different than K-State. They'll sell out to stop the run. We'll see. I don't know how much Avery Johnson's going to run the ball. He didn't run it at all against West Virginia. And remember, he's nursing whatever the injury was that happened against Colorado. So maybe they're inviting him to throw the ball too. And that's what I mean. That's why I like the over. I think both teams are going to get forced into throwing it quite a bit. I would imagine that we get a ton of big plays in this game, like a ton of long touchdowns, if I had to guess at it. And so then, like, if we're looking at, like, the over for me, it's like, do I envision KU scoring 21 points in this game? Do they score three touchdowns? I would say yes, they do. And if they score three touchdowns, I think this game's getting over.
I think there's the chance there's going to be more than that, Jake.
I do, too, yeah, because okay. K-State's got a big test here. They've got a big test defensively. KU's offense, when it's going correctly, is going to be as good and balanced an offense as any team will face in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. They are beginning to click. You're beginning to see Jalen Daniels and Grimes find it as the play caller and the quarterback. What's really been unfortunate for KU is their defense has really let them down. But the offense is picking up that steam of what we thought this offense could be. And so, yeah, I would envision any time that KU plays football, they're going to be able to score a lot of points the rest of the way, the entire way through the rest of the season, because Jalen Daniels has figured it out with Grimes or whatever the reason is. He's playing much better. Their wide receivers are incredible. So they're going to score some points. I don't think they can stop K-State from scoring points.
Right. I think it's fascinating you bring up the University of Kansas defense. And that is because, you know, we thought it was going to be pretty good. We thought, well, if they're playing good, they're going to play good. And the first two or three games, you know, they had those moments. But the one thing that bothered me is that with the KU defense, somewhere on those early games, although they played well most of the game, they would have a quarter or they would have a drive. Remember against UNLV, I'll never forget watching that drive that lasted, I thought, like forever. I thought my whole Saturday was wasted. That drive took so long. 18 plays, 80 yards. It took forever. They had the ball almost 10 minutes of the quarter. And I'm talking about UNLV. Seems like it took forever. I've seen those moments with KU that I thought to myself, I'm not so sure that this is going to be a defense that everybody is going to be saying, oh, they're the strength of the team. And that was said in the first few games.
Yes, it was. I was saying it. They looked really good defensively the first few games.
But we saw indications that, well, not so fast, my friend. Yeah. Thank you, Lee Corso. But I don't know about this defense. I think it has some problems. I mean, the University of Kansas has some problems on certain areas within their football program. They're figuring it out, but the problem is the season's getting over. I mean, come on, we're almost at the end of October.
The reason I took K-State in the basement is because you're going into the Bill, and K-State's just been so dadgum good playing there.
Yes.
I mean, that's if this game's not, you know, in Manhattan, then maybe, but that's feels a little too much for KU, but I do think we're going to get a good game. I can't wait for it. Again, coverage on the Wildcat Radio Network starts Saturday at 5 o'clock. So you'll be able to hear that right here on KFH. We'll come back. We'll wrap this thing up. It's been a fun Football Friday. Don't go anywhere.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.